కంస చోరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురు. 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Vishva Rupa Darshana Yoga. This chapter starts with the statement of Arjuna. He says, O Lord, whatever you taught me earlier in the 10th chapter, what did he teach? What was taught to Arjuna? Vibhuti Yoga means, Vibhuti means special manifestations of the Lord. So once a person recognizes God in the special manifestations, that is how our sadhana has to, when we go to a new place in search of a house, a friend's house or somewhere, always the directions are given. Oh, there is a garage, there is a pharmacy, there is a church tower. That means we are going in the right directions. So big things first. Ramakrishna also gives beautiful illustration. When an archer first starts to shoot, what is given to him? A huge leaf, and the distance also is small. As he becomes proficient, then slowly the distance also is increased, the target also becomes smaller and smaller. That is the process. Whenever we see any person who is some way attracts our notice, any object which attracts our notice, you cannot escape. It draws our minds. Beautiful scenery, nice music, or a person who could deliver very good talk, or a book, a place, anything that draws our attention apart from other things. That very power of attraction is because of God's manifestation in that object. And Sri Ramakrishna used to say that if you do not respect something special, you are disrespecting God. You are not respecting the person or the object. A scholar, great scholar, Sri Ramakrishna used to visit great scholars. You know why? Not because they were devotees, but because there is a special manifestation of God in that person. So this is what we have to do if we want to progress in sadhana. So what are those special objects for us? Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava. Then progressively, you know how beautiful it is? Who is the first person you come to know? And who is the next person you come to know? Father. Then who is the next person who comes to know?
Teacher.
And then you come to know. Atithi means anyone who visits you. And then slowly train the mind to see greatness in everything. Recognize first. Reverence is very necessary. Reverence for everything. That is a sign of spiritual progress. How do we know we are progressing in spirituality? One infallible test is our reverence for things increases. Our reverence for people increases. There may be some other faults, but quickly we find out what is the positive side, what is the good side. Reverence. Why do you reverence Swamis? There is a curious incident. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to teach people that we should respect sannyasins, even if they are not worthy. So one day a donkey was passing by. So he threw an ochre cloth on the donkey and made Sashtanga Pranam. So is he making Sashtanga Pranam to the donkey? To whom was he doing? To the ochre cloth. And what is the ochre cloth representative of?
Sensation.
In Sri Ramakrishna's life, this is very touching incident. There was one young man, tantric I think, he was putting all sorts of irreverent questions to Sri Ramakrishna. And very patiently Sri Ramakrishna was answering. When you read also, you become very impatient with that man. Then suddenly, the sun started falling on that person. You know what Sri Ramakrishna did? Quickly he got up, opened an umbrella and put it against so that the sun will not hurt that person. By that time he sat in like a wooden statue, in as though he was in deep meditation. See, funny things happen in life. Latu Maharaj, he used to get up, go to the banks of the Ganges and sit in meditation. One day Sri Ramakrishna went and said, look here, the being upon whom you are meditating is waiting for somebody to help her. Pali Madhava. And here this man is sitting right in front of Sri Ramakrishna and trying to imagine how God will look like. Of course, how could he understand? But Sri Ramakrishna, even though the circumstances could make him annoyed, he saw this person is maybe sincere. Immediately he put the umbrella so that he will not suffer. Reverence. How Holy Mother used to reverence all her children. Not because they are all reverenceable, but she was saying, these are my children. How can my children be any bad? So that is the idea. Reverence everything. Why? Ultimately everything is nothing but God. This is the essence of this chapter. We have to see God or this world itself as a manifestation of God. So Arjuna is telling, whatever you have enumerated, I am here, I am there, I am there, the whole 10th chapter, that is for your homework. Yes, every time you come, you say, did you read the previous chapter? No, we know. So last year Swami came and took the previous chapter. There was a Christian priest and he wanted to teach a lesson to his congregation on truthfulness. Because every time he puts it, did you read this? They said, yes, sir. Said, okay, next Sunday there will be a special sermon on the 47th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Come, all of you prepared, read it and come. If anybody comes without reading, you will be in trouble. So next Sunday, all of them came. Did you read 47th chapter of the Mark, Saint Mark? You all said, yes, sir. I am going to preach to you on truthfulness because there is no such chapter. The 47th chapter doesn't exist. How could they read if the chapter didn't exist? So, Arjuna was telling, whatever you told is 100% true. I have that faith in you. Referring to Arjuna, Sri Ramakrishna gives a wonderful instance. One day, Arjuna said, oh, I understand all about avatars. Krishna said, is that so? Come with me. So they go. Then there was a huge tree. He said, what do you see? He said, all berries, small berries. thousands and thousands of berries. Krishna said, no, they are not berries. Look closely. And he said, Arjuna said, yes, they are not berries, they are Krishna's. So what is the point of this story? Whatever Krishna says, instantaneously Arjuna believes that must be the truth. That is called faith. So Arjuna tells that out of grace for me, O Lord, you have given me the highest teaching, that you are manifest in this world as something special. I believe in all those things. But having that faith that everything is, I would like to experience. I don't want merely to remain satisfied with belief. I want to have a vision of you in everything. So, seeing Arjuna's faith, the Lord was pleased. Then he says, you can see, and it is very interesting, this particular, the Lord replies, Pashyame partha rupani satashaha atha sahasrashaha nana vidhani divyani nana varnakriti nicha. Not only that, he says, Ihaikastam jagat krishnam pashya adya sachara acharam mama dehe gudakasha yacha anyat drashtumichyasi. Whatever you wish to see, you will see in me. Whatever you want to see. Tell me now that if you ask something, he will show you. If you somebody else asks something, then you will see that. Whoever wants to see, whatever they want to see, they will see in Lord Krishna. That means what could be that being in whom you could see whatever anybody wants? What does it mean? It means he is everything. That is the idea. But then he says, a very beautiful verse, Natumam shakyase drashtum anenaiva svachakshusha divyam dadamite chakshuhu pashyame yoga maishwaram. You won't be able to see what you want to see with these human eyes, your eyes. What is your eyes? Your eyes means your limited, ignorant eyes. Divyam dadamite chakshuhu. I will give you a divine vision. What is it, a laser operation? Or is it a special contact lenses? No. The attitude, knowledge. We see the world according to our concept or knowledge. Our knowledge changes everything. If you look upon somebody as an enemy, that's your knowledge. You will see that upon that person as an enemy. If your idea changes, that person is a friend, then instantaneously you will see him as a friend. So there is no enemy or there is no friend in anybody. That is, according to our attitude, we see things, we experience things, we also experience happiness and unhappiness. Yeah, this is the simple truth. Suppose somebody likes bitter gourd very much. Does he enjoy it or not? There are people who hate mangoes. Have you heard about them?
No.
Rare. But they are blessed souls. I call them very, very blessed souls. Say, may there be more number of yours in this world. Unfortunately, there are not too many there. Swami Abhiramananda, he is one of them. So, this mind is a very peculiar instrument. As we discussed yesterday, that what we want to experience, we experience. How much happiness we want to experience, we experience. How much unhappiness we want to experience, we experience. Ramakrishna also illustrates this in the form of a washerman's dyeing tub. Remember, dyeing tub? someone goes and says, I want my clothes to be dyed red, then he will put it in that tub. Out comes reddish color. Some people want it green color. In the same tub, their clothes turn to that color, whichever color. One clever fellow said, now you dye my clothes in the color of your nirakar. Nirakar, that means it is capable of giving any particular color you want. And then there is another cow called Kamadhenu. Tell me, have you heard about Kamadhenu?
Yes.
What does it give? And where is that Kamadhenu?
Vasishtha.
We don't have it, isn't it? Do we have? We all have it. And actually, 24 hours we are using it. For example, in the dreams, whose dreams are we? Our mind itself is a Kamadhenu. So how do we understand this? When we have dreams, who is creating the dreams? And whatever dreams we want, we are creating. Is it not a fact? Is not our mind becoming a Kamadhenu? You want to go to Belur Math, you go to Belur Math. You don't want to go to Belur Math, you will not go to Belur Math. Don't you see? Our dreams are creations of our own mind. In the waking state, whatever way we like to see, that is how we see people. Every emotion changes our perception. Is it not? Who is creating that emotion? We are creating. Who is responsible for my... If I get angry, will you take responsibility? We are the Kamadhenus. Then the idea of Kamadhenu is, whatever you wish, that you should be able to get. But the trouble with it is, our habits control what we wish, how we wish. So we have to change our, even though we have the freedom, that freedom is controlled by our past habits. Classical music. Everyone wants to enjoy classical music. And Kamadhenu says, yes, you can enjoy, but before you want me to give that milk called music, you also have to feed me. Kamadhenu also doesn't work without fodder. What is that fodder? Hard discipline. The Lord is telling, to see God means what? We have to put on godly eyes. Only then we can see God. Whom are we seeing really? What is the entire essence of this chapter? Whom are we seeing? God. How are we seeing? Through our limited ego. Not only the instrument is limited, every instrument is limited. Mind is itself limited. Sri Ramakrishna's mind also is limited. But he trained that limited mind to see only God. That's why he was able to see God in everything. Mind is, even if it is Ramakrishna's mind, it is limited only. But when he, otherwise he need not go into samadhi. When he goes into samadhi, what is he doing? Goes beyond the mind. This is the idea. So the Lord says to Arjuna that you wanted to see the reality. Here vision means what? Reality. So I will show you. But Arjuna's mind was not ready for the highest reality. That is a point I will discuss. The Lord says two things first. That you cannot see with your limited eyes. You need special attitude, knowledge. And I am going to grant you that knowledge so that you can see me. Devyam dadami te chakshu. And he gives. You know that. Then what was the result? You all read the chapter. What was the result of Arjuna being given special way of looking at this world, what was he seeing? He was able to see partially reality. What is that ferocious form of God? And why ferocious form? There are two explanations given. One explanation is that where was he? In a battlefield. And what was his mind filled with in battlefield? What is the mind filled with? Ferocious thoughts. Either killing someone or being killed is one explanation. Because if a person's mind is very calm and quiet, then it will see calm and quiet figures, reality. That is one explanation. But the other explanation is even more spiritual. What is it? When the ego is about to break down, we get frightened. See, remember Swami Vivekananda, Narendana, went to Dakshineswar. Sri Ramakrishna wanted to give him the highest vision. And he touched. Immediately, you recall what was the experience? His head started to reel. Means he was telling. He didn't say my head was reeling. He said the whole room was going round. Going round. What was that? He was frightened. Because the individuality, our sense of individuality is so strong that it was dying. Death means, you know, when a person is dying, he experiences terrible fear. You know why? Because all the experiences such people have is through the body. However painful that body is, maybe a person is suffering. Even then he doesn't want to die. Why? Because he, see, at the moment of leaving, there is nothing new coming. After leaving, he will get something new. But in between, it is total emptiness. That creates terrible fear. Fright comes. So what did Narendranath say? What are you doing to me? Ramakrishna said, it will take some time for you to accept that experience. And he did pray, now I am ready. And then he got it. What is the point we are discussing? When the ego is broken by the grace of the Lord, and if we are not ready for that, then it will be a frightening experience. Death of the ego is a very frightening experience. Then who am I? Now I am a body, I have somebody else to support that I am a body. But if my individuality breaks down, who am I? Without acquiring a new identity, it will be like homelessness. It's a very interesting understanding, a knowledge. You know, suppose as a person is poor and he lost his job and somebody repossessed his house. He doesn't have any house. It's not a pleasant experience at all until he gets a new home. Suppose a person, as he already bought a house and somebody repossesses his old house, does he get frightened? Very easily he will move. He knows, I have a new home. But here, like a ghost, individual, losing individuality. Then how does one make that transition? That is where upasana comes to our aid. A person who is expert in upasana, already he made sufficient progress to identify himself with some god or goddess, some identity is there. And this is why what is called many devotees also suffer too much. You understand now why devotees suffer more than worldly people? Because they are in the process of giving up the worldly attachment, not yet acquired a definite identity with either Ramakrishna or Krishna. They are hanging in between like Trishyam Koswarga. You know, this pendulum, you see this pendulum, how it moves. So, one explanation of that pendulum is, the pendulum wants to go to one side. That side says, you are a stupid fellow. I see that you went to the other side, get out. When it comes to this side also tells the same thing. I see you went to the other house, get out. So, yes, like that it goes. It is our actual experience. When a person loses his identity, he feels terrible. So that's what Arjuna was experiencing. By the grace of the Lord, he was losing his old identity and acquiring a new identity. So he could see in that new light. It was frightened. His mind itself was filled with frightening thoughts. So losing one's individuality, which is Sharanagati, is not so easy unless we have practice of it through Upasana Kanda. It's very important. That is why between Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda, there is a what is called acclimatization stage. Same thing, I can give you hundreds of examples that when these people become astronauts, when the vehicle satellite is moving at how many G?
6G,
7G, something like that. That experience is weird. That is, they have to practice a long time. You have seen the practice, they will be floating like that. Even to get something, the tea they want, the cup also is floating in front of them like that. So we have to acquire. That's Arjuna in the end, he could not retain this experience. He said, what was he telling? I want to see you in the same old way. What is he telling? I want my old shirt and pant back. I cannot tolerate this new dress. Because he was not prepared. That is why Sri Krishna told him, even though you are threatening me that you want to become a sannyasi, actually you are not fit to become a sannyasi. You are still a householder. See how you understand. So, as a result of being granted this new vision, the seeing ferocious vision, the result of it was, he could not recognize his old friend. The descriptions are there, that the whole universe like a black hole. Sri Krishna became like a black hole. Everything was rushing into him. Who was excluded from that? None were excluded. Not a single one were excluded. How do we know? I'll shortly come to that. Bhishma, Drona, Kauravas, Pandavas, everybody was rushing and was being crushed. It is a graphical expression. What does it mean? It means the old world had come to an end, was coming to an end. And it was ferocious, frightening. Then Arjuna, he asks, who are you? I can't recognize you. No? The verse is there. Where is it? He says, Akhyahimeko bhavan ugrarupo namostute devavara prasida vijnatumichyami bhavantam adhyam nahi prajanami tava pravruttim. Who are you? You are very ferocious. I can't recognize you. What is your nature? Reveal your nature to me. And the answer given is also extraordinarily great. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, what does he say? Kalo asmi loka kshayakrit pravruddho lokan samahartum iha pravruttaha rite pitvam na bhavishyanti sarve e avasthitaha pratyanekeshu yodhaha. He says, my name is Kala. Kala means what?
Time.
Kala means what? death. Yamadharma Raja. Why is it called? Kala. From the time I came to this house until now, so much Kala has passed. That means what? We are forward to that time, near the queue. Like, you know, cattle, they are taken in the little way curtain. One cow goes inside and then it comes out in the from nice teams on the other end. There's the white hole, black hole and white hole. What is that black, white hole?
Just
in that. Some companies sit in like that, you know. Pickled prunes. Pickled like that it comes. So nicely it will come out. That is what is happening in Kala. Kala means time. Time means death. In death, every millisecond, so many creatures are dying. And so many creatures are being born in our own body. The cells are constantly coming to life and then also dying. Is it not a process that is happening? We ourselves are Krishnamurtis. In small way, in an individual way, it is happening. We are not recognizing it because this is part of the whole universe, Kala. The whole universe, some stars are every second, how many stars are exploding? How many new stars are being created? Have you any idea? We only see these few. But do you know how many stars are there in this universe? How many millions of galaxies are there? There is no counting. This is the truth. So, kalo asmi, I am time. What for have you assumed the special loka kshaya krit pravruttaha? Specially to destroy a large number of people, I have assumed this form. Then what does he say? He was reminding Arjuna, when you came to the battlefield, if I don't take up arms, then nobody will die. Rite pitvam, without you also, na bhavishyanti sarve, nobody will survive. Then Arjuna's pride is gone. Without me, the world still goes on. We don't like it, certainly. Yeah, we want to feel that without us, nothing should happen. Rite pitvam na bhavishyanti sarve. E avasthitaha pratyanikesh. Then he says, you know, tasmatva muttishtva. Super, arise. Yashola vasva. By performing your duty, get good name. Jitva Shatrun Bhumshva Rajyam Samruddha. Having conquered the enemies, then enjoy this earth. He says, Mayai Vaite Nihataha Purvameva. All these people have been finished long back by me. Nimitta Matram Bhava Savyasachin. That you just become a willing instrument. That's important for us to know. Willing instrument, because unwillingly also we become instruments only, nothing else. So this is a most wonderful chapter in this sense. What does this teach us? That we are doing something. Who is doing? The Divine Lord is. This is what Sri Ramakrishna wants to teach us all the time. When Sri Ramakrishna is talking such nice things, whom should we thank? Should we thank Sri Ramakrishna or Divine Mother? He himself used to say, Ami kichu jana, I know, I drink, I make merry. I eat, drink and make merry. It is the Divine Mother who is doing everything. Is it not true? Mm. But what do we think? You know, in villages, sometimes some festivals happen. Then people are fed. There are some, what is called, elders, the pumpkin cutters. Nobody invites them. But they want to feel, we are also wanted. Like children, you know, children feel always, if you are doing something else, they will draw your attention, either by hook or crook. Is it not? They want to feel, we are important. What right have you got to pay attention to somebody else? We are all like that. These elders want. So, feast. Food is being served. Some young volunteers, they take buckets. Somebody takes rice, somebody takes sambar, somebody takes something else. They are serving. But these elders people, nobody invited. They go in the middle of that. Hey, young fellow, come here. So it comes here because elderly man. So what are you doing? What is it? It's rice, sir. And what are you doing? I'm going to serve. Yes, go on, sir. They feel happy that we are also doing something. This is the nature of human beings. The world has been going on since a long time. It's a nice story. You know, once our Brahma, he wanted to have an interview with Lord Vishnu. So he went there. A receptionist has given him a number. So please go and sit, and when your number comes, what do you mean by number? I am Brahma, don't you know? Creator. Yes, 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 I know. But there are other Brahmas. What? Other Brahmas? Then she opened the curtain. There were billions and billions of Brahmas are waiting their turn with numbers. When your number is called, then you will come and you will have an interview with Lord Vishnu. His pride was smashed. He thought he was the only Brahma. Stories. So, this universe is infinite. This universe is infinite. It is eternal. Why is it infinite and eternal? It is infinite because it is nothing but God. It is eternal. It is nothing but God. Therefore, there is no beginning. There is no creation means not a beginning according to Hinduism. Creation means manifestation of a seed. Like this question, which comes first? Egg or chicken? Seed or the tree? You see, there is no beginning there. In fact, time, the concept of time itself
is relative.
A very relative term. So when did time begin? Do you understand? When did time begin? So what are you presuming? There must have been another time out of which time began at 10:30, time began. Time is timelessness. That is why it is called Kala. Kala is called Kali. You know Kali? Srishti, Sthiti. Like Brahma Chakra. Going on and on and on. That is why Thakur brings that beautiful explanation. There are these old women, grandmother. She has a bag. What is there in that bag? All the seeds garnered from last year's, you know, lauki, kumbha, seaweed. All these seeds are there. So where from she gathered those seeds? From the previous year's new resolutions. Where from she got that previous year's new resolutions? From the year before's new resolutions. You know that? Somebody was asked, what is this new year's, your new year's resolution? Said, this New Year's resolutions are to put into practice my last New Year's resolutions. And what were his last New Year's resolutions? To put into practice the resolutions taken in the past. Creation being infinite, eternal, it is manifestation and unmanifestation. When it manifests, we call it creation, srishti. When it unmanifests, we call it pralaya. This is the simple. There is no beginning, there is no end. This is Hindu's concept. It is true. So, the Lord is telling, I have already killed all these people. Time kills everybody. All Bhishma, Drona, everybody, Arjuna, everybody will die. Now, there is a peculiarity here. Kala kills everything, true. But Kala also has a special way of killing. So, how does it do it? According to one's karmas. That comes into equation. So these people's karma is ripe and they have to die. But whereas Arjuna, these Panchapandavas, including Panchapandavas' children, were also killed. But these Panchapandavas lived for some time more. What is the lesson the Lord is telling to us? That we are all just instruments. Everything is being done by whom? By the Divine Lord. This is called Sharanagati. Sharanagati means what? We become just instruments. We have to develop that attitude. Then the question comes that we believe in the law of karma. What is the function of the law of karma if we surrender ourselves to God? Because these are opposite poles. Do you understand? Opposite poles. Law of karma means who is responsible? Law of karma means we are responsible. Sharanagati means who is responsible? God is responsible. They look like conflicting views. But no. Why? Because who makes this Sharanagati possible? Only God's grace. And when is it made possible? Only when a person has learnt anukulasya sankalpaha pratikulasya vajjanam rakshishyasiti vishvasaha gotritva varanam atmanikshepaha karpanye iti shradvidha sharanagati. Only after practicing all these things, only then Sharanagati is possible. The last straw. Sharanagati means the Lord says, okay, now you are fit. Now I will take over your responsibility. Until that time it is vain to say. Why? Because there is one sure test. If you have surrendered yourself, you will never worry again. Simple examples also. Suppose you have a car and it is parked outside, because the garage is, this is something which I can never understand in these countries. Two things I can never understand, especially in America. One thing is, in the room, most of the rooms are dark. Bathroom, 10,000 watt bulbs are going on. I can never understand this concept. The second thing that I don't understand is these people, all these in the UK and here and everywhere, that really we have no responsibility, but we assume they are trained, people are trained. If you don't have sufficient ego, you will develop inferiority complex, lack of self-assertion, self-assertion training, and all these things. What does Vedanta say? If you have more self-assertion, and make it less. Here, if you have less self-assertion, make it more. And that creates a lot of troubles. Anyway, the thing is, supposing you have a car, and most of the people here, the garage is filled, not with car, anything else, and the car is lying outside. Have you seen this? Many times I have seen this. So, just suppose you have a car, it is there outside, and if anybody comes and scratches it, would you feel pain or not? You feel pain? But supposing, one evening, you sold that car to your neighbor, and he is also filled his garage with all those things. So he says, keep the car there only. And that night, if somebody comes and breaks open the car and takes, would you lose your sleep? Why? Because you have surrendered your idea of ownership. Previously you had, this is my car. Now you said that it is your car. Ownership is transferred. You don't feel anything. This is one sure test. If we have surrendered ourselves to God, that it is now God's responsibility. Until that time, it is vain to say, I surrendered myself to God. That doesn't work. Because the purpose of Sharanagati is to become free. And if you are not free, whatever you may say, it is not really Sharanagati. This is the message of the Lord, that everything is being done by me in the form of Kala. Try to understand the concept. Srishti comes in Kala. Sthiti also happens in Kala. Laya also happens in Kala. Simple example, that you have some egg and slowly a chicken comes out of it. So there is a time when the egg did not become chicken, then it becomes chicken, it lives for some time, and then one day it will die. Or marigold seed. Put marigold, within 3 days the seedling will come. And within a month or so, it starts blooming. Within 3 months, it is dead. Everything happens in time. If everything is happening in time, then who is doing all those things? Kala. God in the form of Kala. Then what is our greatness? There is nothing. Then why are we created? Just to feel this, that we are merely instruments. The whole universe is like traveling towards God. You know that moving staircase, what is it called?
Escalator.
Imagine, it is a closed escalator and you entered into it. That's it. Until you reach, you can't go back. But within that, you have given a freedom. You can stand, I don't know here, where that also changes. In UK, if you want to stand, stand on the right side. Those who want to walk forward, here also same? Okay. So we have a small choice, that we can walk a little bit faster. Sadhana is like moving a little bit faster, making self-effort. But even if you don't make self-effort, time will... Yes, this is the truth. Everybody will attain. This is what Holy Mother says. Everybody will get food, but those who work a little bit intelligently, they get to eat sooner. But there are some lazy fellows. At midnight, somebody will call them and give them food. But why should we wait till midnight? So this is a very powerful idea, that everything is being done by the Lord. This idea also has been given in another place. What is that? Ishvaraha Sarvabhutan, 18th chapter. Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantrarudhani Mayaya. These ideas repeat themselves. Ishvara is sitting inside our heart. What is he doing? He is making us, moving us according to his will. We have no choice. It raises very interesting questions. If some people are unhappy, who is responsible?
God.
Ultimately God. But so long as we think we are responsible, then we pay heavy price. Ultimately it is God. once some visitors came to Dakshineswar and they saw this newly constructed Dakshineswar temple, mother's temple. They started praying, "Oh, Rani Rasmani has built such a wonderful temple." Sri Ramakrishna overheard and he remarked, "See, nobody says it is the Divine Mother who built the temple. Because who brought Rani Rasmani there? And who made her that from such a poor state she became suddenly the wife of one of the rich people in Calcutta? And then she, who planted the idea that she should go on a pilgrimage? The Divine Mother. And then who planted the idea, you better build a temple here, I will receive your all these things." She built the temple. Nobody was willing to undertake the puja. Who gave that idea that why don't you take opinion? And then through that way Ram Kumar also got that question. Likhita Prashna. And he gave, unfortunately he was the only man who gave the answer. You know, sometimes lottery ticket, they have already fixed who gets the prize. So they put 100 slips. All the slips have only one number. Nobody is going to check up, you know. So a huge fanfare is made and some minister will come and pick it up. Ah, this number, who has got? Nobody will question to open those other slips. Interesting, you know. So the whole idea was Divine Mother's. So who built, who gave the money, who worked in the form of the workers, who gave the inspiration, who made it possible, is only the Divine Mother. But we simply take the credit. So what is spiritual sadhana? To hand over the I. There are two ways to hand over the I. What are those two ways? One is the Jnani's way, another is the Bhakta's way. But ultimately it is the small I has to be merged in the big I, nothing else. So having heard this one, is then Arjuna's, he started praising, "Oh Lord, no, it is wonderful, you are the greatest, you are the mightiest, your Kirti and Esha, name and fame has spread all over the world. Tumadi Deva Pura, you are Vayu, you are Yamaha, you are Agni, you are Varuna, you are Shashanka. Salutations to you from the front, from the back, from the side, from above, because you are the only one." Then he comes to a wonderful verse, number 41. Sakheti Matva Prasabham Yaduktam. He Krishna, He Yadava, He Sakheti. Ajanata Mahimanam Tavedam. Maya Pramadat Pranayena Vapi. Before Arjuna had this universal vision, how was he considering Krishna? As a friend. And he was addressing, "He Sakha, my friend, He Krishna, O Krishna." But after this vision, "Please forgive me, I did not know that you were so great." You see, it's very hard. One day, you know, Swami Vivekananda, how they used to address? Our Naren. And he was younger than Shivanandaji Maharaj. And one day Swamiji and Mahapurusha Maharaj were lying in a bed. And towards midnight, Mahapurusha Maharaj woke up suddenly. Something was disturbing. And he saw 12 or so Shivas, identical Shivas, lying. His eyes, head started to heal. "Are, Naren was sleeping here, how come?" So he rubbed his eyes and he saw. Again same thing. And then he closed his eyes and started to meditate. And then he fell asleep. He woke up. Then he saw Swamiji. And then he narrated this incident. And simply Swamiji broadly smiled. He didn't say anything at all. Because sometimes these things are frightening. happens. Vigyan Maharaj entered into one day he got up at midnight to go to the toilet. And he saw light was emanating from Swamiji's room. And he peeked. And he saw Swamiji was absorbed, sitting in meditation. The whole room was lighted up. From Sri Ramakrishna's body, light used to come up. And people used to simply stare. Then, after much praying, he said, "Mother, go inside. Do not show these things." Because people, they feel that they would not allow him even to go for toilet, restroom. They would not allow him to go to restroom. It happened to him. You know that? When?
Rashi.
No. Once Sri Ramakrishna had a desire. You know, I heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to attract so many people. Rama used to attract so many people. Krishna used to attract so many people, but nobody is attracted by me. What is the matter with you? He had a desire. Then what happened? Thakur went to Kamarpur. From there he was taken to another place called Shyam Bazar. Not Calcutta Shyam Bazar. Near Kamarpur. Somehow the news spread that a man who dies 7 times a day and comes back to life 7 times a day, this a man has come. Somehow news spread. Hundreds of people from long distance villages started, and Hari Harinam Kirtana was going on. Wherever Thakur was going, he wanted to go to toilet, they followed him there. Day and night, Tatikim Dhim, Tatikim Dhim. They were taking rest by time. Then this attraction, Ma, enough of divine attraction. I don't know what, I will die. And he told Hriday, let us, Rata Rati, decant. After that he said, no more attraction. Yeah, it happened to Thakur. Did you read it?
I don't remember.
Yes. It is there in the great master.
Yes.
Sri Ramakrishna, the great master. So he just like a child, he wanted to experience. Just imagine, on the day Swami Vivekananda became world famous, that night he wept. He said, there is no more privacy for me. Because wherever he went, people would gather there, around him. Previously he could go where he wants and sleep. Not that. He was attracting notice all the time. But after this, it was wonderful. So you see, we have to pay the price. Famous people have to pay the price. They will not have privacy. And everybody is there, either to admire them or to shoot them or do something about it. You know, Prince Charles, he was in the Navy. Because they had to buy a tradition, they had to get. Somebody kicked him for no reason. He was asked, why did you kick him? He said, you know, after I retire from my job, I would proudly be able to tell my grandchildren that I kicked Prince Charles. Weird reasons will be there for people. The whole point is that once we have that high vision, there is no way we can come back. But to retain that high vision, we need a very high degree of purity. But this is a point which we have to understand. Many times in the life of Sri Ramakrishna we find, Thakur had bestowed his grace upon people and they had very nice visions and other things. And very soon, they had to request him, please withdraw your grace. We don't want to see these visions. Not because they don't want to see, but the equipment necessary to bear that burden, like, you know, high voltage. But why do they provide these fuses? Whenever high electricity flows, then it should not burn out everything. So we are not prepared mentally or physiologically. Our body is not prepared. Slowly we have to prepare ourselves. What is the way to prepare ourselves? Gradual sadhana. One important point, sadhana is not meant to get something. According to Vedanta, sadhana is meant to get something new. Sadhana is meant to recognize what we already have and enjoy it. Atman is already there. There is nowhere, you don't need to go anywhere. You don't need to get anything. That is why Shankara analyzes this point so nicely. What is the function of karma? We discussed it, you know. Any action can only achieve four things. Any action can achieve only four things. What are they? Something is not there, so you have to create it. A pot is not there, then you can create a pot. Or the pot is in Detroit, it is not in Cedar Rapids, so if I want to get the pot, then I have to go. First is called Utpadana. That means something is not there anywhere, so we have to produce it. The second is Apya. Apya means it is not here, it is somewhere else, so I have to go there to get it. Another is, it is broken, so you have to fix it. Another is, it is fine, but it has become stained, so you have to remove the stains. Now, come to Brahman. Is it something you are going to produce newly? It is already there. Is it something which is available only in Chicago or Detroit or UK? It is everywhere. Then, has it got any parts so that it can break? It is akhanda. So it cannot be broken. Therefore, there is no need for repair. And does it get stain? It cannot get stain. You know why? Because it is stainless. Stainless means what? When there are two, then they can mix. Water and dirt is there. Since there are two, water can become dirty. If there is only water and nothing else, how can it become dirty? So since God is only one, and therefore it cannot be stained at all. There is no other object to stain it. Therefore, these four are not possible. Therefore, there is no need that you have to do something to get Brahman. You can't get Brahman by doing. How do you get Brahman? By not doing anything. Yes, by not doing anything. That not doing is called sadhana. See the point? Sadhana means what? First you think 100 thoughts. Then you slowly reduce until everything is reduced to one thought. And ultimately that one thought also will be overcome. Then there is nobody to do, because Triputi is there, you know, Triputi.
Yes.
If you have to do, then there must be some three things. The karta, the subject, then the object, then the verb, to connect these relationships. Karta, karma, kriya, jnata, jneya, jnana, Triputi. This is called Triputi. When there is only Brahman, then what is to be done? What is to be achieved? So this is one point. Another viewpoint is that if you are lacking something, you have a desire. I don't have that, so I will have to get it. When Brahman is infinite, what can you get? For infinity, what do you want to get? There is nothing to be got. Therefore, no desire will be there. When there is no desire, no action is needed. That is why Jnana Yoga takes pains to emphasize one point. That's why it is dead against karma. It is not got by karma. Then how it could be got? By knowledge. What is the knowledge? that you have the specs on your face all the time. And myopic, you know. He thought he lost his specs. And furiously he was searching. So another neighbor came, friend, and said, "What are you doing?" "I am searching for my specs." "It's a stupid fellow. How are you able to search? Because without specs on, you can't even do searching. You won't be able to see anything. The very fact that you are able to search means you have the specs on all the time." But sometimes we forget that, isn't it? We forget many things like that. Car keys. So they are here in the pocket. Furiously searching everywhere. Until the wife comes and tells that, "Why don't you put your hand in your pocket?" And they are there, right in the pocket. We forget. This is the function of Jnana Marga. It doesn't get us anything, but it gnapaka. Telugulo gnapaka antame? Gnapaka means what? To help you remember. Not to get anything. Oh, it is here. Because we forget. That is called ajnana, means what? Forgetfulness. That is the idea. So, Arjuna is telling, "O Lord, before I saw you, either in what is called affection or in ignorance, I called you, Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava, Hey Sakha." So what was Krishna? When Arjuna was addressing him as Krishna, what was Krishna? Is this Vishwarupa something new?
No.
But what did the Lord do? He gave him that knowledge that I am all the time like this, but because of your ignorance you only saw me like this. Now you have seen me like this. That is all. Oh, please forgive me. This is what he says. But what is the point? As soon as again ajnana comes, how is he going to address Krishna? He will again say, "Oh my friend," and all those things. This wonderful play goes on all the time. Two examples. Mother Yashoda had the divine vision of the Lord. No? Did she not see universal vision? And after that, was she any wiser? She went on to say, "My Krishna, without me, he will starve to death." And then, when he becomes a little more mischievous, she wants to bind him. And he also allowed himself to be bound. This is one example. What is the other example in Thakur's life? You know, Tirthankar will be highly useful when there is this chess masters, two chess masters, chess championship, world championship, when they are playing. I heard they employ some psychologist. He will go on staring at the opponent. Have you heard that? You know, this fellow has to make a move. He will sit in front of him. That fellow slowly gets unnerved. This beautiful play of how grace given and grace withdrawn. This play is went on. Have you not read Haladhari?
Oh.
Haladhari, when he takes a snuff and then says, "Hey, Ramakrishna, come, Gadai, come here, you fellow." Then Thakur sits on his shoulder. "Oh, Ramakrishna, I know you are Avatara, you are God of gods." Then as soon as he comes down, "Yeah, this is you, village bumpkin," like that he used to tell. And then again Thakur used to say, this time I will never forget. You know, have you read about it? How many times this Leela had taken? Don't you forget again. No. I have no chance. I will never forget. Like Bhojaraja Simhasana, that happened like that. Without divine grace, it's not possible to recognize. Wonderful incidents have happened. Why am I narrating all those things here? Because at the end, he says, O Arjuna, you had this vision only because you are my devotee and only because I am gracious to you. Whether you study Vedas, whether you perform yajnas and yagas, whatever else you may do, without my grace, nobody can ever attain to this vision, universal vision. That's what he says. So that is an important point for us to understand all the time. Without God's grace, nothing happens. We are doing sadhana not to gain anything, but we are doing sadhana for the sake of the Lord's grace. Now, what is the Lord's grace? Is it waiting somewhere in London or somewhere else? No. There are two types of graces. Have you ever heard? Two types of graces. Grace of God is one type. Grace of God is second type. What is the grace of God? First grace of God? He gives you something. That is grace of God. What is the second type of grace? He tells you, Baba, I have given you, you please enjoy it. The first grace most of us have already got. Just look at your lives. You have a human birth. You have a desire for self-improvement. And you also have the wonderful opportunity, Swamis, and good atmosphere, satsangs, everything is there. But the second grace is not there. What is the second grace? We are not appreciating our grace enough to be grateful to Thakur and say, how much more grateful I should be that you have already given to me all these wonderful things. We are taking for granted everything. See, what an opportunity. Suppose you go to Nigeria, here, there, and don't get enough food. Then you appreciate what a heavenly life you are living. If we can appreciate the grace poured by God amidst whatever things we have, I think we will be a very, very happy people. That is why this gratefulness is one of the things. Gratefulness means acknowledge what God had already given to us, more than enough. Now you want some more rooms added to your house? Some more children? How many of you want some more children? What do you want? You are not able, you want more time? Say, a day should have 48 hours. Then what, you know what will you do? Your bosses will be very happy. Since you have more hours, now please work more. For the same pay. So, important lessons we have to learn today. Evening I will conclude is what we discussed. Very important points we discussed. Can somebody summarize? See, it's a good exercise. What we discussed today, could you summarize, one of you, neatly? Anyone?
Us is the manifestation of divinity. and one should have reverence for everything. The meaning of faith is whatever Guru or the Lord says, instantly believing in it. And spiritual progress happens only with hard discipline. And without God's grace, God gives the ability to see and progress towards Him. So I have written godly eyes. And the Lord showed the ferocious form for two reasons explained. One, because it was in the battlefield that this conversation was going on, and Arjuna's mind was filled with ferocious thoughts. And second is, when the ego is about to be broken, everyone gets frightened. So, because you would be losing individuality, and that losing individuality is Sharanagati. And this will not happen unless one is expert in upasana, identify with God or a goddess.
Yeah.
And after surrendering to God, then it's God's responsibility to take us forward. One should have that faith and do sadhana. Any action can achieve four things. Creation, then obtaining or fixing or maintaining.
Yeah.
Brahman cannot be any of them because he is one and he is changeless. And then there are two types of graces. One grace of God is that he is giving us everything every time, starting with a human birth, yearning for him, and multiple opportunities of holy company. The second grace of God is the enjoyment that the sadhaka has to make a part of his discipline or sadhana, and it is, we are not enjoying because we are not appreciating Thakur enough that he has given us so much and are not grateful to him as much as it is needed.
Very nicely done. Only one or two points are there. This everything happens, is happening, will happen by the will of God. All of us are helpless instruments. But we should recognize that we are not the doers, but we are the instruments. So that accords very nicely with the law of karma. What does it mean then? I said they are conflicting views. Law of karma means we are responsible. Sharanagati means
God is
responsible. How does this harmonize? How do these two conflicting views harmonize? So here, in the sense that when we recognize that we are instruments and therefore we should do what God wills us to do. That means we accept that we are instruments consciously and do everything as His instruments, then the law of karma has only one consequence. What is it? Everything, it cannot bind us. Now the law of karma binds us. It binds us because we feel we are doing good or bad. When we are enjoying, who is enjoying? When we are suffering, who is suffering? But if we surrender ourselves to God, still we do the actions, then what do we feel? If we are suffering, who is suffering?
God.
If somebody is enjoying, who is enjoying? God. Only we say, instead of saying God is enjoying, we say this is happening by the will of God. In which case, the fellow doesn't suffer really. If everything is happening by the will of God, he is only an instrument. He enjoys really, like seeing a show. Even though seemingly he may appear, he will be only enjoying it. So that is the great lesson taught to Arjuna in this, that don't let no one think that this world is created by whom? by God. Who is running the show?
God.
So who can stop it? Only God. Our role, we are like actors. We act according to the script written. That is simple. But we must do our best to act at the same time, give the credit to God. If we do that, then we will get out of it. So, to summarize, that the law of karma, it binds us either way, by enjoyment or suffering. But if we surrender ourselves to God, then what happens? We get out of the law of karma, because there is no need for any karma. The only purpose of the law of karma is to get us out of karma. Curiously, you know, when you join a school, what for do you join? To learn. And what is the school trying to do to you? What do you think the view of the school? To throw you out as soon as possible. So if it has employed good teachers and it will give you a feeling, I passed, the passing means what? Quickly you are going to get out of the school. Sure, if you just pass on the first exam, first try, then at the moment one the lower class will kick you out. Then you enter into the higher class. Then if you pass well, it will kick you out. Then you enter, say, high school. Then you pass well. Then it will give you a reward for going out very quickly. This law of karma also has only one purpose. What is it? If you do it well, in the right way, it will release you from bondage. This is what Sankhya Yoga is telling. Prakriti means like a mother is leading us out of, like a mother. What does it say? You know how it says? Wonderful. A child is strays into the neighbor's house. Now the neighbor knows this is a child. That's why it doesn't know which is its house, which is my house. So gently, the housewife of that house takes, oh sweetie, come on, let us go out for a walk. And what is her purpose? To lead the child back to the child's home. This is the function of Prakriti. My dear child, you strayed into my house. You don't belong to me. You belong to the Divine Lord. I am leading you there. If you listen to me nicely, I will take you gently. If you don't, this is the truth. So if we obey scriptural rules, regulations, then quickly we get out of this samsara, law of karma. So what is karma yoga? Karma yoga is the technique of getting out of simple. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.